view community as a symbiotic relationship where reciprocity and mutuality characterizes family life.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here.
And Lawson.
We're the dad and lad. I guess we could be interchangeably dad and lad, but for the sake of our podcast, I'm the lad.
And I'm the dad, and that makes the combo.
And we are excited to have you on this next episode in our series of Building a Christian Home. I want to call this the RV edition as well, because that's where we're currently sitting as we do this next episode. We're in the RV, in the driveway, as my kids are running around having fun with mom inside. Now, for an audio perspective, it would be pretty wild to get all the stuff that we would pick up inside. So that's why we're in the RV.
There we go.
And today we're speaking about in community, the joy of community. We all love community and value it because we know that life shouldn't be done alone. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the church and building a Christian home in the community context of the church, how should we think about this?
Well, I like to think of it as two families of faith, and each family needing the other. So there's the family of families, the church, or the community of faith, as we call it, and then there's the family at home, the mum and dad and children, or whatever combination that might be, grandparents with children, uncles and aunts, or whatever.
Now, obviously, the immediate family, it's obviously assumed you need each other. Like little kids, they need their mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And husband and wife, it's very much understood that you need to communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. Or whatever home situation you're in, whoever you're living with, it's like right in front of you each and every day. From the moment you wake up, you're interacting with people, you're rubbing shoulders with the different people mm-hmm. in your home. You know that you need to get along. But the second family, when we talk about the family of God, we sometimes just naturally put them in a different box. Like, okay, we can occasionally mm-hmm. connect with them. Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't be really operating as family in the truest way.
No, I think we have to see ourselves as the family at home. Yes, like you rightly identified, and interacting there. But if we stop there, we have succumbed to the prevailing thinking of culture, which is more inclined to independence. Mm. But what God wants us to be, and it's very clear throughout the scriptures, is that we need to be not independent, we need to be dependent. Mm. And so the moment we start thinking dependence, we need to think beyond the confines of being at home. And that immediately brings us to a place where we're now thinking of community at large, and particularly for us as Christians, our involvement with a church community.
So it definitely means that we see them more than just random strangers that we do a bit of small talk with on a Sunday, and maybe we will ask for a few prayer points in our lives. We're talking about some vulnerability. It talks about doing life more mm-hmm. than just beyond the Sunday gathering. It's
right.
Getting invested in each other relationally and truly being family.
Yeah, and I think we have a lot to learn there. Sometimes that's done reasonably well, but sadly, I think we're not getting to the place we need to get to truly be invested in each other's lives, to truly be thinking about one another, to truly, and the scriptures have much to say about one another, to truly be relying on each other in a way in which we are not acting in a self-sufficient manner, but we are looking out for others and putting others first.
Well, mention scripture. Let's get into God's word. What is some scripture that helps you to really understand this truth?
I think the first one that comes to mind for me is in Ephesians and chapter 2. And we've spoken about the word household before, and that's why that comes to mind for me. Verses 19 through to 22, and I'll just read that quickly. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. So just to pause there, every one of us in families are fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. I love how that word household,
yeah,
which we use to speak about the family at home, is also used
as God's house.
As God's household. And then that whole idea of us being joined together, that word together, I think, is critical in that passage. Does any passage come to mind for you?
Well, I guess more of a narrative, like the idea that we are within a household of God. What does it actually look like? I think the beautiful thing about most of the New Testament, especially the writings of the epistles, is we see them trying to live towards that aim.
Uh-huh.
But right after Pentecost, we see that the evidence of God's Spirit working in the believer's life is to live this reality out of Christians coming together in community. And so the book of Acts, chapter 2, when it speaks about the fellowship of believers, right? They come together and they devote themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They break bread, it says, in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
All the believers were together and had everything in common. Everything was in common. They were selling property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And every day they continued to meet together. Every day. And they were breaking bread every day in their homes and eating together with glad and sincere hearts. And they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And through this, it says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I just think that's a beautiful thing to picture, that it was so much beyond than just a Sunday gathering. It says every day they're meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Every day they were coming together and eating and praying and just welcoming each other in each other's homes. And no one was thinking that this is our sacred place as our own family home. It just seemed like there was this flow of believers coming in and out of different people's homes. Mm-hmm. And whoever had need, you're just meeting their needs. And it's exciting. Like, you look at that and you wonder, could that be done today? And actually, we know in many parts of the world, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in many parts of the world where it is, the fruit of it is that there are people still daily being added to the number.
Isn't that wonderful?
Of faith.
Yeah.
But particularly in the West, we have our own little fortified castles.
Mm-hmm.
This is a harder truth for us to truly be in community.
It is. It is.
So you can't do it alone, right? But actually, more so, we see in scriptures that if we try to go alone, we'll be actually going against God's will.
Yeah, absolutely. If I go back to the book of Genesis, for example, we read that fantastic statement, it is not good for man to be alone. God created us to be relational, and it's important to him that we're not isolated, that we are connecting with meaningful relationships in a deep way. I like what the English poet John Donne said, no man is an island entire of itself. Bottom line is, families need families.
Yeah, we do need each other. But beyond even just our need of how that works, and we'll talk about later in this episode of the benefits of and the fruit of being a community, we would actually be not truly living into our identity if we thought that we can just relegate this community thing to a secondary principle.
As you mentioned identity, it makes me think of one definition anyway of community, and that is having a shared identity forming narrative. And one of the things that is so fantastic about our Christian faith is that we have God's Word, the greatest identity forming narrative of all. And as I think of that, and it's another reason why we need to connect into the family of God, it's because it's in the family of God that we read God's Word as a communal book, yeah, which it is, and engage with the Scriptures. And it's the place where we can teach and preach and sing God's Word to one another. And that's what forms our identity as family.
It, There's an interesting correlation when you look at during COVID, when community was restricted in many ways, the correlation of when communities were restricted, that there was a rise in deconstructionism theology, or as they call it, the deconstructionist movement of breaking down things of the faith. And sure, there's a place for deconstruction when you have... There is a good deconstruction, but there was a lot of negative deconstruction that was happening during that time of people who were isolated and started saying, I'm just going to try and figure out theology and faith on my own, in my own little pod, maybe not even within their own household that they were isolating with, but even on their own. But when you mention now with God's word, which kind of brings together our shared
integrates.
Identity.
Yeah.
But you need to exegete it together in community, to keep each other in line and to keep each other, if we didn't have each other, we are at danger, we are at risk of not knowing God properly and what his word says.
And going into error and false teaching and so much more.
So
absolutely.
So we need two families of faith. Let's take a break. Thank you so much for listening to the Dad and Lad podcast. As you know, this is a ministry of Scripture Union Canada. And something we want you to check out today, right now, is The Story at Scripture Union. The Story is an online, free Bible reading guide. Yes, you heard that. It's online and it's free. You can go and you can subscribe and you will get a Bible reading passage and reflection sent to your email every single day. It's written by Canadians for Canadians, and it actually really brings out this whole idea of community, which we're talking about in this episode. You have multiple authors writing your daily reflection, and so you get to hear insights from a variety of different people. It will enrich your Bible reading, and it will really help you to actually strengthen your faith in the midst of community. Thank you so much.
So let's make this practical, and I'm wondering, Jonathan, what thoughts you might have on how we build strong communities, what the fruit of being in two families of faith looks like. What would you say?
Good questions. I'll get to the fruit, but that one question, how do we build strong communities? Well, it starts with you and your family. I think often we can try to think, I want to go and go to a place where I will be, where people will look after my family and they will meet our needs and they will help me when we have struggles and when we're sick and we need someone to bring us a meal, or that's all good. And we should have, that's not necessarily a wrong expectation. That's how the church should be operating, with that sort of support network. But it needs to start with you. So how do we build it? It starts with you, the one listening. The Proverbs say, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Who in your community of faith needs to be refreshed and encouraged this week? Who needs to have a message to say, hey, we're thinking of you. How can we pray for you this week? Who do you know in your community who could use a meal or some baked goods, or could just have a scripture text reminder sent to them? And then within building community, find shared joys and learn how to worship God in the midst of it. I'm speaking of myself personally, but one of the ways that I love to build community, in the family of God is doing things that I also enjoy personally. I love playing sports. So it's a beautiful thing being able to gather a bunch of guys from my local church and playing sports with them. And then using that time afterwards to pray and talk about spiritual things. Maybe you are... This is the beauty of God has created us to be creative. So literally there is so many options of ways that you can build community and bring people together. That's why even at Scripture Union, we love sports ministry, because we see that there are so many avenues and platforms where you can build relationships and community. And it doesn't have to just be sports. It can be so many different things.
No, and what I'm hearing you saying is the whole process of building community requires a two-way interaction.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm giving, sometimes I'm receiving. Both are needed. I can't just be a part of a faith community and be looking for what will come my way. That would be selfish in and of itself, wouldn't it?
Totally. You asked, what is the fruit? Let me start actually in the most major fruit. Without the family of God and without actually us fostering community, there'd be many people who would go to hell. I actually believe that. I've seen time and time again when the church has brought people in and looked after their needs and taken care of them, and when people have felt a sense of belonging first, then they... Usually belonging comes first and then believing in Christ comes second. And Jesus said the same, by your love for one another and how you love, they will see that you are my disciples. And so when people can see that they can belong and we look after the other and we take care of one another, people are going to put their faith in Christ and souls will be saved. And so there's so many other fruits that we could talk about of personal joy and comfort and correction. But we also know that literally lives are being transformed and saved when we are in community.
Yeah, and as you say that, I recognize that the whole process of encouraging one another is therefore so very important. And I can't do that if I'm not in a faith community.
Yeah,
I have to be a part of community in order to model the way of Christ to others and to come alongside people and to pray for them and bring a word of exhortation or help them grow in their faith in some way. And likewise, receive that into my life and into my family.
Where, Dad, do you reflect and see the beauty of the church being community to you and our family over the past years? Do you have some stories or thoughts that come to mind of just great joy of how the church has been community to us?
Oh, you know, so many instances. Often it's the very little things. It's a friend phoning up and saying, you know, I know that this has happened and can I pray with you? Sometimes it's another family saying, hey, we would love to bless you and to do whatever for you. And oftentimes it's more that to get back to what you were saying about the challenge for us in the Western world, opening up our homes to one another. I know Mum and I have on so many occasions been welcomed into another person's home. And just the opportunity to sit around the table and to share a meal together. And then to talk about the things of God.
Speaking of food, I remember growing up and when we were living, I guess pretty modestly you could say, and then we would have some of our church family show up at our door, and where we grew up in Orillia, there was a good traction of hunting, and they would bring in their meat that they hunted. Remember? And we would get our freezers stocked, and we were
with moose.
With moose. That's a very Canadian thing to say, but how much we were blessed as a family. Just with things like that too, where people who had, where they were gifted, were serving, and we were then on the receiving side of that. Or if from a mechanic, or the gifts of people that they may be able to offer. It is a beautiful thing when God's people look after one another and use the gifts and abilities that they have to bring community. And it reminds me, one of the key studies of, when we talk about family faith formation, was the Sticky Faith study. And they said that in that study, when children are brought up and they feel relationally connected to at least five other Christian adults other than their parents. So that means it has to come from the church. Five other Christian adults, if they feel relationally connected and known by that, that was one of the greatest indicators that their faith will stick. And that's called the Sticky Faith Study by Kara Powell. And this is what we're talking about. This is another fruit of what community does. Absolutely. It helps our children's faith stick. And if we're wanting to build a Christian home, we need them to be connected to other members of the church.
A huge amen to that. Each family needs the other. And that brings me to, maybe this should be our final thought, Jonathan. that we should view community as a symbiotic relationship where reciprocity and mutuality characterizes family life. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, and I saw in your writings of this planning of this podcast, a symbiotic relationship. I did some research, and actually, I thought you might be curious. Have you ever heard of Pando?
No, what's that?
Okay, so I looked it up online. Pando is known to be the largest organism in the world. It's essentially, let me look at my facts here, 47,000 trunks, but it's actually only one tree, all connected by one root system.
What kind of tree is that?
So it's an aspen tree. The forest is in Utah, and it's 103 acres. And so out of those 47,000 trunks, it's all connected by one root system.
One tree.
And so it's really just one tree. And so
It's
known to be the largest organism in the earth. And so it's interesting. It's actually not doing too well right now, these scientists say, because one disease in the roots affects
the whole
thing. Mm-hmm. But when it was doing well and flourishing, they all flourish. And I just thought, well, that's pretty cool picture. And they say that's the largest organism in the earth. But we actually know, when I saw your idea of the symbiotic relationship, the church is the largest and biggest one entity in the world. Because we are meant to be one. And we are one. And now we don't always act like that. The truth is, God says we are one because He, Jesus, is at the head of His church.
Wonderful.
And so whether we live into this or not, the truth still remains that the church, God's people, is one. And when one person hurts, then the entire body should hurt. And when one is celebrating, we should all celebrate.
Amen.
And so community is given to us because...
A wonderful gift.
As a gift, and it's actually with Christ at the head of our family. And so as we've been talking about today of being two families, we know that within building a Christian home with these two families, our immediate family and the family of God, in both cases, Christ is at the head, and He brings complete unity. All right, thanks so much for listening to the Dad and Lad podcast. We can't wait to have you join us next time.
God bless. Bye now.